It's good to see everybody this morning. I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak for you this week. I've been excited about it since I got the message from Mark, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 months ago, whenever it was. There's been some things that I've thought about and some books that I've read that's really impacted me a lot over the past few months or so, really I guess over the past year. And I want to share some things with you this week from that. I'm not going to give you a summary of the books. I'll tell you which ones they are as I get to them. But the things that I read in those books have made a difference to me and helped me to understand more about the Bible and how true it is and how real this story really is and should be to us and how much of an impact it should make on our everyday lives. When you look around us, even right here in the county in the middle of the Bible Belt, the number of people who without hesitation accept the Bible as true is getting smaller. The people who accept the creation account from the Bible as true is getting smaller. The people who question things and say, well, you know, I heard that the Bible contradicts itself, and I heard that the Bible says this here and that there, and that doesn't make sense to me. That number is growing. The number of people who are taking verses out of the Bible and misusing them is growing. So we have to be more than ever before 100% grounded in our faith. We have to know why we believe the Bible. And we have to be able to give an answer for that. We have to be able to explain to someone why we believe that this book is true. Because people don't just accept it anymore. Because if you can throw out one part of the Bible, then buddy, you can throw the whole thing out. And that makes everything about life easier while you're here. Of course, we pay for it in the end. But people are trying to throw the Bible out or just take bits and pieces of it. And so what I'm going to do this week is I'm going to answer a series of questions about the Bible. And one we're going to talk about tonight is the Bible. Then we're going to talk about Christ and Him as a historical person. Historical while He was on the earth and historical as in throughout the ages. Then we're going to talk about the creation. And then we're going to tie all of that together in a beautiful way Wednesday night and talking about the gospel and what the gospel really is and what it means to us today. Thursday night we're going to talk about our enemy Satan, who is against us in every way, who is trying to get people to not believe in the Bible, to question the authority of Jesus, to question that there was a God that created, and if you can throw that out, then you can throw everything else out too, to question the gospel, because we've got to understand our enemy. And then Friday night, we're going to conclude by talking about how we need to strengthen our faith in God. And all of this is a path that I've been on myself because I wanted to be able to answer the question, why do you believe the Bible? Historically, why do you believe the Bible? Because just because it's the Bible is not a good enough answer anymore. For years around here, the people that we've come in contact with, if you could quote it to them from the Bible, they wouldn't question it. But now people question the Bible so much they don't take that for face value. And their version might say something different than your version. Now which one are we going to trust? So we need to understand some of these things. That's what we're going to talk about this week. So this morning, I want to open by talking about the difference in being faithful and foolish. If you read through Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, all through there, the wisest man, except for Christ, that walked on the face of the earth, talks about the fool. But he also talks about the wise. So there's wisdom and then there's foolishness. And that wisdom is, of course, with the faithful. So our objective for this morning is for us to be convinced or reassured that it is most important to live a life of demonstrated loving faith in God. That's what I want you to walk away with this morning, is that you know, and I know we all already know it, but I want you to be more convinced after we talk about what the fools do and what the faithful do, that there's nowhere to be except with the faithful. And we have no place with the fools. Psalm 14:1, we're going to read this verse over and over this week. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Didn't say it out loud. Said in his heart. Questioned. Is there really a God? Where did God come from anyway? Okay, so God created the earth. Who created God? Where did God come from? Because friends, if we can question that, we can question it all. if there is no God? But the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Maybe not ever says it out loud, but just question it in your heart. And that's dangerous because, friends, what we're talking about here is faith in God versus atheism. There are societies of atheists who put up billboards, and I'll show you some this week. Billboards using the Bible against God. With one is a very disturbing picture that I'll show you of a picture of a person in chains, a slave. And they quote the Bible verse where Paul wrote and said, slaves, be obedient to your masters. So they're using the Bible to support slavery and to make the Bible look bad. Well, if they understood history and they understood slavery, the slavery that was used in the Bible is not the slavery that was used in this country. The terrible form of it. That was the form of slavery where people lost everything they had and they sold themselves to work for someone else. Is that not what we do when we sign a contract to go to work? Are we not selling our time to someone else in order for them to pay us? Have I not become a slave to my employer? Do I not have to do what they say? Of course we do. We're all slaves if you got a job. We're all slaves. If you don't do what your boss says, what's going to happen? You're going to lose your job. That's what they were talking about. Not the slavery of the Bible, but people use the Bible against itself. And atheists still doing this to tear the Bible down and to make people question it. So what we're talking about really, we're calling it foolishness versus faithfulness, but it is atheism versus theism. That's a big deal. Because friends, it's foolish to think that there's a middle ground, because there's not. So our verse again, Psalm 14:1, the fool said in his heart that there is no God, but the faithful use their faith as substance and evidence of our beliefs. So the fool's life is evidence of the fact that they don't believe. We're about to look at a lot of that evidence. But the faithful, we should have evidence in our life that we do believe. And that's what it all boils down to. What does the evidence of your life point to? If somebody met you and followed you for a month and watched what you did, what you watched on TV, what you read on the internet, maybe it's not even bad things that you watch or read, but they listen to your conversations and what you talk about, would they be convinced that you fully believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because if you're faithful, there's evidence. The reason for this lesson, friends, I don't think I have my verse up there. The reason for this lesson is because Jesus tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if we've got doubt in our heart, are we going to talk to other people about it? Are we going to be a good salesman for the gospel if we've got doubt harbored in our heart about whether it's all real? Because you know, you go to the zoos and the aquariums and you're going to read about how the earth is millions of years old and there's been all these different eons of seasons and times of life on the earth and how there was this primordial soup that magically life cropped up out of, and over millions and millions of years, here we are. And that's what our society immerses us in. But do you believe that, or do you believe that God said, let there be light? Do you believe that God created? That there is a God? Because what you believe about that makes a difference in our life. And what's in our heart, whether 100% confidence in the fact that there is a God or some doubt and wonder, is going to come out in our life. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's where the evidence is going to be. So what I'm suggesting to you is that if you look at your life right now and you're not seeing the evidence, maybe it's not that you don't fully that you don't know it, but maybe you just haven't just given yourself over to it, sold 100%. Hey, this is it. This is real. This is the only thing in life that matters. And if I don't live for this, then I'm living for nothing. Maybe you've just got some doubt. So who are the foolish? I've got some papers here if any of you want to see it. I looked up verses throughout the Bible that use the word fool or folly or foolishness or foolish. and printed it all out and made a chart of the characteristics of fools. And I've got it. I didn't put all the verses up here because it'd be too much to try to put on the screen. So if you want to see the verses that back this up, I'd be glad to share it with you. I'll email it to you. I'll bring you a printed copy of it if you want it. This is all from Scripture. This is all from the Bible explaining to us how a fool acts. The first few: a fool is hasty of spirit, their wrath is easily known, and they are confident in their rage. These first three up here at the top. You ever known people that way? That they're angry, and they're right about being angry, and everybody knows that they're angry, and they want everybody to know that they know that they're right about being angry. I think we all know people that are that way. The Bible calls that foolish. The Bible calls it foolish. That a fool is a person who would be hasty in their spirit and in their anger and in their rage. And yet there's so many today that struggle with patience and their temper. They enjoy lack of wisdom and proclaim foolishness. The next two right here. I love those. Oh no, I don't love them. But I mean, I know people that act this way. They don't want to know if they're wrong. They don't care if they're wrong. They're going to enjoy living it up in their ignorance, and they don't want to know better. The Bible says that's foolish. It's foolish to want to live in ignorance. Well, you know what ignorance is, right? It's bliss. That's why they don't want to get out of it. They don't want to know they're wrong. They don't want to know they might have to change. They don't want to know that they're in error. They don't want to know that there's a truth. So they would rather sit in the blissful ignorance of not knowing and live it up. They can't keep their mouth closed, and they feed on foolishness. Well, we know some people this way, don't we? You know, the Bible also says that even a fool, when he keeps his mouth closed, is considered wise. The problem is a fool has a really hard time keeping their mouth shut. And everybody around them knows that they can't stop talking. Now, I know we all have those times when there's something that comes up that just gets under our skin, or maybe we're bothered about something, or we get on a little soapbox, so to speak, and it's hard to stop. It's hard to stop. We've got to recognize that the Bible says that a fool is one who can't close his mouth. Sometimes we might just need to turn and walk away. The Bible said a foolish person perverts his ways, or those ways are crooked. When I think of somebody that's crooked, I think of I don't think there's any used car salesmen in here, but if you are, I'm sure you're honest used car salesman. I was looking for a truck not long ago, and I found one online, and I called this guy about it. The name of the dealership was Jimmy's Car Sales, but it was Juan Montoya that answered the phone. I did not understand him, and he did not understand me. The only thing he wanted to know was, "You got cash. You come, you got cash, we talk." I got off the phone, and I didn't even call him back. I said, "You got a Carfax?" "I got Carfax, good Carfax. I'll email you Carfax." He never sent me a Carfax. I never showed up either. All he wanted was to push a car. He didn't care about anything. He was just trying to sell it. You know, sometimes you get into those deals and you find out you got hoodwinked. You got taken for advantage because somebody's crooked. A fool perverts his ways and lives a crooked, perverted life. It's not just talking about the sexual perversions that people are addicted to. It's talking about a crooked, evil, backwards, backstabbing life is the life of a fool. They seek violence and stir up strife and hide hatred with lies. Now that last one down there, hopefully none of us have problems with the first two, the violence and the seeking strife. But the last one, hiding hatred with lies. You ever had somebody you didn't like, but you're nice to them to their face, but then you talk bad about them behind their back? I hope that that's not a normal practice for any of us. But there's probably been a time, maybe we didn't hate somebody, but we were just really, really angry or upset or hurt. But when we got around them, we sucked it up and act like everything was okay. And we lived a lie. The danger in that is that the other person may not know that there's anything wrong. And so here we are, boiling and stirring on the inside, and they don't even know that they need to ask us for forgiveness. Because we've lied and we haven't been honest. The Bible says that's the way of a fool. A fool utters slander, enjoys mischief. Now look at these next three. Delights in his own heart, trusts in his own heart, and lives to be right in his own eyes. That describes much of the generation that I teach at college. It's all about following your heart. If it feels right, then that's what you need to do. You got to do what makes you happy. I know we're talking about careers. You don't want to go get in a career that you're going to be miserable in. I understand that. But some people take that concept of following your heart and seeking out, finding who you are, and they use that to justify whatever kind of lifestyle that they want to live. The Bible says that's foolish. It's foolish to trust in your own heart, to delight in your own heart, and to seek after your own heart, to live to be right in your own eyes. Despises a father's instruction, is a meddler or a fusser, returns to what he is sick of. You ever done something and you just were disgusted at it? And you promise yourself, I'm not going to say that again, I'm not going to do that again. And then what happens? You ever do it again? You ever say it again? You ever end up in the same situation again? The Bible says that's foolish. I think we've got a saying along those lines. It's something like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Well, what if you're doing the fooling yourself? The Bible says that's foolish. The words of a fool are ridiculous, and people are weary of them. Hopefully nobody feels that way about any of us. But I think that we all probably have been around people who are that way. Just don't even like to listen to them talk. You see them coming, and you almost want to hide. You're in Walmart, you try to scoot in the other aisle so you don't run into them because you don't know what you're going to end up talking about for the next 30 minutes. And it just wears you out. The Bible says that's foolish. It says it's the fools enjoy fornication. Friends, that is rampant in our society, in the world that we live in today. It is accepted, it is expected, it is condoned, and you are presented as backwards, old-fashioned, if you choose to live an abstinent life until marriage. And it makes me sick. It really makes me sick the way the TV shows are today. Even the commercials. We don't watch a lot of TV at our house. We were watching the Women's College World Series on softball. Hannah's played softball, enjoyed watching it. So we were watching College World Series. And the commercials are worse than the TV shows. It's terrible. I told Nicole I was ready to cut it off. And if the kids want to watch something, we'll buy it for them on iTunes so it doesn't have commercials in it. Because you can be watching a somewhat decent show. I mean, you know, you don't go out and find the worst thing there is. But you watch a show that's a good show, but they're going to try to advertise some awful show. Partying, drinking, fornication, and it's advertised on the commercial. It's terrible. The Bible says that's foolish. It's foolish. But you know, the world presents us as foolish for feeling otherwise. Perverted lips, twisted or crooked. We've already talked about that. A fool hates what he got after he wanted it. This comes from the story of Absalom, David's son, who wanted his sister. And after he got her, he raped her and then he hated her. And the Bible said that that was folly, that he had wrought folly in Israel for what he did. Have you ever seen people do something, maybe not to that extreme, but have you ever seen people just want something so bad, not necessarily a person, but something, and then after they got what they wanted, they realize it's not making them happy like they thought it would? The Bible says that's foolish. What's foolish about it? It's foolish to think we can find happiness and contentment and peace in anything that this world offers. Because this world is all temporary. The fool makes fun of calling sin what it is. And that is wide open today too. If you call homosexuality a sin, oh man, they've got some terrible words for us. For calling sin, sin. Now we're the bad guys. We're the ones that's backwards. They think it's foolish to think about or teach Jesus. And then, of course, the last one, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. These are the characteristics that the Bible uses to describe a fool. Those who don't believe that there's a God. Those who don't think that there's a Creator. Those who don't think that there's something bigger to live for than what you can see around you. This is how the Bible describes the fools. But what about what we try to be, the faithful? The Bible describes the faithful as being no respecter of persons. That's harder than it sounds. Because we, judging from what I know about y'all, we're all good middle class folks. And I know when I'm around people who have way more money than me, and it's obvious by their lifestyle, for some reason, I feel nervous. I don't know why. It just happens. Or when you ever get around somebody that is famous, I get nervous. A few years ago when George Bush was president, he came to Auburn when I was in school down there. And it was a big deal. President going to be on Auburn's campus. Hadn't been one there in a long time. It was fun. They made a big deal about it. Got a bunch of people out to come hear him talk. It was real neat. He's just a man. But the feelings that I had, knowing that I was going to be within 100 yards of the President of the United States. Never been that close to him, any president before in my life. It was exciting. But you know, he's just a man. Go to a professional baseball game, basketball game, you're close to all these people that's all over the news, got millions of dollars, got lives splattered all over everything. Get a little nervous. They're just a man. They're going to stand before God just like this little boy that I pick up to go to ball games. Because a lot of times they can't afford to give him a ride. So I go pick him up. Sweetest little kid. He's a person before God, just like all these famous people, rich people. The Bible says the faithful see past the outward appearance. They see past what other people could do for us. They see past the fame, past the fortune, to the heart. And why would we do that? Because our God doesn't see as man sees, but He sees the heart. The faithful fear the Lord. We'll talk about that. The faithful delight in His commandments. We'll go over these quicker than we did the others. Are full of compassion. Compassion for other people. Freely share. We follow God's direction. Have abundance in lack of pride. We find our happiness in our humility. We're stable in our trust in God. We overcome difficult challenges through God. We forgive because we are forgiven. We reveal the righteousness of God through our life. And people see in us the God that we follow. We increase our trust through difficulty. We don't fall apart when the going gets tough. We get up and get going through the strength of Jesus Christ. And we get stronger through difficulty. We are saved from Satan's fiery darts through our faith and our trust in God. We rejoice with joy unspeakable. Our trust, our faith is our hope or our confidence. You know, we use the word hope to mean, well, I hope it's not going to rain tomorrow. But the Bible used hope, or the King James Version used hope to mean confidence. Meaning, I know I've got a home in heaven. I know that I've got a Savior that died for me. That's my confidence. That's what the word hope meant then. Not, I hope maybe we're going to win the ball game. That's nothing close to the way the Bible meant it. We find our hope and our confidence in Christ, and it makes us immovable. Not hard-headed. Not closed-minded. Immovable in our faith. We're open to learning the truth. If somebody wants to talk about the truth and they can show us that we're wrong, hey, that's good. I want to know that I'm wrong so I can correct it. But if I think I'm right, I'm not going to go with whatever wishy-washy thing comes around. We stand fast and hold fast to the truth. We exhibit a deep, loving commitment for other people from a pure heart. We find strength in what we trust and accept it completely. We pray appropriate, trusting prayers. We turn away from the power of Satan and we are kept by the power of God. And friends, we the faithful overcome the world. This is how the Bible describes the faithful. So after having reviewed both lists of how the Bible describes the fools, those that say in their heart there is no God, and the faithful, those who say in their heart there is a God, which one of these do you look most like? Well, if you're like me, you see yourself on both. You see you've got qualities on both screens. And I think that's probably to an extent normal, as long as we are in the process of putting off the foolishness and putting on the faithfulness. Because Paul writes over and over about this putting off of the old man and putting on of the new man. Well, this is what we're putting off. The old foolishness and putting on the new faithfulness. Over and over he describes that process. So if you see yourself on both, don't throw your hands up and give up. But look at it and say, which one am I growing in and which one am I getting weaker in? The old Indian story. Everybody in you's got two wolves. A good wolf and a bad wolf. The one that's going to win is the one you feed. Which one are you feeding? Are you feeding the faith or are you feeding the foolishness? Which one is getting stronger? Friends, why is this important? Because your belief or lack of belief is going to make a difference in how you live your life. Your conviction on the truth of Jesus Christ and God as the Creator, the Sovereign, All-Knowing, All-Powerful God that created this world and loved this world and us so much that He sent His Son to die for us. If you are 100% fully convicted and convinced of that, it will make a difference in your life. But if you harbor doubt, that will make a difference in your life too. That's why it's important. What we've just looked at is the evidence for you to use to measure yourself as to what's truly in your heart. Because we'll lie to ourselves. We'll lie to ourselves and say, you know, yeah, I'm convinced, I'm convicted. What's the evidence say though? That's where you got to look. What does the evidence say? What does the story of your life tell about what's in your heart? Friends, what would you do if you were told that the water in the water cooler in the back was bad? Somebody just told you, hey, don't drink the water back there. It's bad. We've got to change it out. Water's never been bad before. Wonder what's wrong with it. Surely there's nothing wrong with it. Okay. What would you do, though, if you heard that and then you saw somebody get sick immediately after drinking it? Well, now I believe that it's bad. What are you going to do? You're not going to drink it. It's going to make a difference. What you believe about that water is going to make a difference. Just hearing something, you might question it. Well, yeah, maybe the water's bad, but it's probably not. But you see evidence? Okay, now I know. Here's one that's going around. What if you were told that essential oils cure headaches? It's all over. You just want to read about it? Go to Facebook.com and search for essential oils. There's testimonials and stories all over about how it's... And I don't know. I haven't tried it. I'm just telling you what I've heard. Stopped allergies, stopped headaches, stopped migraines, stopped back pain, foot pain, every kind of pain, sleeping problems. I mean, it's supposedly a wonderful thing. I haven't tried it. What if you watched somebody take some of it and instantly their headache was gone? Well, now, got some evidence now. Might make a difference in how I feel about it. Okay, so here's my point. We've talked about all this about foolishness and faith and where we ought to be. But what if you see somebody's life who is 100% convicted and convinced? And what if that someone's you? What if you're the person that shows someone else that this is real by your life? What if you're the evidence that convinces your friends and your family that this is 100% true? The story about Jesus, that's a good story. I like that story. But man, you should have seen the difference it made in my dad's life. What if my kids could say that? You should have seen the difference that it made in my co-worker's life. They were the most disgruntled, aggravating, hard to be around person you've ever seen. But man, when they became a Christian, wow, what a difference. Would you want to try it then? See, that's the point. Whatever is in our heart, if we are fully convicted, friends, it will come out and it will make a difference on other people. And one of the worst things that can happen is for us to call ourselves Christians but live like we've got doubt. And people look at us and say, why in the world do I want to follow what you're saying you follow when I look at your life and you're worried about everything? You don't really look like you trust God. You haven't been out beating doors down trying to convince anybody of the story of the gospel. You haven't made a difference with your kids. You haven't made a difference with your spouse. Why in the world do I want to believe a gospel that hasn't made a bit of difference to you? It's what's in our hearts going to come out. Friends, what you believe makes a difference. The fool says there's no God to worry about. But the faithful, there is an awesome God. There is an awesome God, and I will respect Him. Beautiful verse. Proverbs 1 and 7. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I think, friends, that part of my problem, perhaps yours, is that I know a lot of facts about the Bible. Just like you, I've been raised around it all my life. I know a lot of the facts, but I haven't let myself be fully convinced. I haven't had a healthy fear of the Lord. Now, you have a healthy fear of your principal. You have administrative experience here with us this morning. You know the kids that respect authority and the ones that don't. You know the people that respect the authority of the law and the ones that don't. We all know that we drive sometimes with a fear of the cop around the corner, and sometimes we don't. Right? And when you come around the corner a little bit faster than you ought to, and there he sits, you just get this cold chill come over your whole body, don't you? Because now you got the fear of the law in you. Well, if you've been driving with the fear of the law the whole time, you wouldn't have been worried when you came around the corner and saw him. That's the point. If we live with the fear of the Lord in us, we're not going to be scared. We're not going to be worried. What does God do for those who trust Him? We're going to review this a lot this week. God is a buckler for the faithful. He is their strength in difficult times. He is a refuge for them. He is a shield. He is merciful. He gives them direction. He gives them grace. He is their salvation. He helps us. He is our consistency. He is our companion. This is what we have in the Creator of the world if we're faithful. Wow. Fool doesn't have that in anything in this world. What's going to be the outcome of our decision? Proverbs 16 and 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Friends, if we are not departing from evil and we are living with these constant problems in our lives, then maybe, just maybe, we don't have a healthy enough fear of the Lord. And we're not quite afraid enough or respectful enough or in awe enough of who He is, what He's done, and what He's going to do, friends. If what He's done for us in the past isn't enough to convict us and convince us, what He's going to do in the future better be enough to light a fire under us. Because what's coming is awful, terrible, horrible, if we're not ready for it. So our friends perhaps lead lives of foolishness. Let's make sure that we lead a life of faith. Let's make sure that we lead the life of the faithful. And that we can give answers, as we're going to talk through this week, about why we believe this Bible that we talk about. Why we believe in the story of a Savior. What difference that's made in our lives. And let's let it sink in and make that difference in our life. If we can help you this morning in any way, please let us know while we stand and sing the song that's been selected.